from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
It's a brand new day and a brand new start to the offseason training program for the Kansas City Chiefs, and we're going to talk about it today. Matt Derrick's going to join me here in a couple of minutes, and we're going to go over what happened, what it means, and honestly, where they're missing a couple of little things. But a lot of positivity coming out of One Arrowhead Drive right now. Before we get to Matt, though, they went and did it. The Seahawks went, and despite the deadline that Russell Wilson had put on them for getting his contract extension done by the 15th, they ran it all the way up to the deadline at midnight Pacific time, so much so that Russ had to make an announcement there from bed in the middle of the night on the East Coast, I believe. And what it comes down to, for Russell Wilson, the Seahawks quarterback is going to make a four-year extension, $140 million with $65 million guaranteed. And good Lord, that sounds like a lot of money. And you'd be right to feel like that. And you may be asking, why am I talking about Russell Wilson and the Seahawks spending all that money? And honestly, it's just for one reason. Because a year from now, we're going to be talking about what's going on with Patrick Mahomes' contract, how long they're going to lock him down, what kind of money they're going to give him. And this is going to be a contract that feeds into it. There's likely to be another one possibly before that time, but Russ Wilson just set the market and is going to have a serious impact on the negotiation and the overall cost for Patrick Mahomes when the Chiefs go to sign him to an extension. Now, yes, there's a fifth-year option and all that. I don't think they're going to try to use that because that puts a little bit of jeopardy to your future. You don't really want to take that chance with the MVP at this point. I feel like this is really going to set them up. They're going to start negotiations early, and they're going to try to lock it down early because every day that passes before the new CBA makes Patrick Mahomes more expensive down the line. So that's why I bring up Russell Wilson, and it does have an impact. I want you guys to know about it because it's starting to set the future for the Kansas City Chiefs, at least coming down the line. Not to worry about 2019, but after that, we'll get into that as well. So let's get over to Matt and start talking about what's going on out at Arrowhead. So coming in now, we were lucky to get him back because he was pretty swamped when the Chiefs opened their phase one workouts. Matt Derrick from Chiefs Digest is back. How are you, Matt?
I am well, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm tired, but I'm getting there.
Almost done. Almost yeah, done.
Right? We're so close now.
Right now, I'm just thinking to myself when I can schedule to go see Avengers Endgame after the draft, when it's going to be safe.
See, you and Chris, like, it's all priorities,
just that
right?
Close. Exactly. You got to have a carrot at the end of this tunnel. Something to keep you going.
I'm just going to say right now, at the end of the movie, I don't think half the universe comes back. I'm just saying. But before that, the NFL universe
will find out.
Right. So before that, the NFL universe will have come to its rotational conclusion for this season with a whole slew of new guys. But before that, they all showed back up, right? And it's like there was a lot of energy around Arrowhead today, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's first day back at school. I mean, that's what it is. Everybody's kind of in a good mood, kind of pretty excited. And, you know, they hadn't seen each other in a while for the most part. And all the new guys there for the first time. So it really is that. I mean, it really is the first day of school. And right now there's nothing major going on. I mean, these first 2 weeks of phase one, the only thing you can do is strength and conditioning and rehab. So, you know, you're not playing, you're not doing any drills, nothing like that. I mean, this is just clearly getting into shape. It's getting back into things, doing therapy if you need that. So, I mean, it is, it's a little bit of time to just relax and have fun while you're working out with your friends. I mean, that's really what these 2 weeks are pretty much.
Oh, sounds like a vacation. Okay.
That, and then you have to go to a bunch of meetings. So the meetings are what, you know, that's the classroom. That's what really ruins it. But recess, that's what these guys are here for.
Red Bull and coffee. I noticed Eric Fisher came in with quite the thermos, so I can understand trying to make it through those meetings.
Yeah, that was kind of the hold up today. They had some meetings apparently that ran long, so we were waiting for the players to come through. And not everybody that we were promised came through today, so we'll have to catch up with them later.
Oh, I look forward to that because I think there's a lot of nuggets you can extract from these things. And we'll talk about some of those here as we go forward. But I think the overall thing, it's like red carpet, right? With all these guys being able to see Patrick Mahomes in the flesh.
Yeah. You know, I'm asking Beth, you know, Travis Kelce, what it was like, you know, going around with Patrick Mahomes at the Final Four. And he's like, I've never been around a superstar like that. I mean, you know, it's just like, it's all, you know, and you kind of saw it. I mean, with the coverage when he comes on TV, I mean, Everybody in Kansas City is like, hey, there's Travis Kelce with Patrick Mahomes. Everybody else was like, who's that guy with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, that was, right. He's like, I've never been around somebody who was this famous and this big of a star. And, but you know, I mean, he said that, you know, Patrick's, you know, keeping his head on his shoulders. I mean, he's still down to earth. He's still the same old guy. Even though just apparently everywhere he goes now, people know exactly who he is and he gets all the attention now. And it's been a busy off season. I mean, and you know, and I asked, you know, Patrick about some questions about that specifically. Just how he managed all of his time, how he, you know, worked around, how he stayed connected to football, you know, doing all of this. I mean, it's not just the things that we've seen on TV, the Tonight Shows, the Final Fours. He's done a lot of charity engagements. You know, he was down in Springfield, Missouri, a couple of weeks ago for a big fundraiser down there. Done a lot of those, done a lot of sponsorship appearances. So, you know, whether it's the Hy-Vee or the sunglasses or the water or Adidas, I mean, he's done a lot of those. So it's been just really trying to juggle all that. And, you know, and I kind of bristled a little bit when I asked him, you know, when it gets back to 100% football. And he says, well, it's always 100% football. But he's like, now this time right now it's changing. I mean, now he's going to be spending more time. He's not going to be doing as much of the other stuff. And that will obviously trickle on down to the point where once you get to training camp, I mean, yeah, it's, you got to zero in. I mean, that's when you got to shut it all down. And, but right now, I mean, I think it's a little bit of a challenge and the Chiefs are intimately involved. His agents are involved. I mean, it's right now a team progress about how you manage Patrick Mahomes' time and make sure that he can stay in, you know, connected to football and doesn't let anything rust, anything go away. And he's ready once they start hitting the field.
Yeah. And like you said, he's got a lot of things going on. I particularly like to see him, you know, maintaining brand awareness with Adidas. I thought his Final Four trip was unique with some stickers just placed over his gear. But that's got to be just such a world away from a guy that 12 months ago was just feeling like, wow, I get a chance to go out and prove myself. And 12 months removed, how do you feel about his persona and how you feel he's dealing with it?
Well, by all accounts, he's dealing with it really well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of it that I'm sure is a lot of fun. I mean, clearly you see him, you know, going to the Final Four. That's a lot of fun. I mean, you get to follow your team and everything. And obviously he's got the money to do what he wants to do now. I mean, that's not a problem. So that's pretty cool. But there's a downside to it too. I mean, there's a lot of demands on your time. I'm sure that not every fan and admirer who comes across him and meets him is as gracious as you would like for them to be. So I'm sure that's difficult. Just a lot of distractions that come into it. So there are some tough parts of it, but, everyone says the same thing, you know, that he's managing his time well, that he's not overextending himself, that he's, you know, staying to keep in shape. He's continuing, you know, and I'd asked, that was just a problem, was finding, you know, enough time to stay connected to football and to do the things that he wanted. And he said, yeah, I mean, actually, he's like, I'm working so much at it that I still have to tell myself not to overthrow, not to do too much because he loves the game. I mean, he really does. So, he's not somebody that you have to, you know, remind to go out and work on his game. He wants to do that. And you're still seeing that. I mean, that's what Andy Reid says. He's still seeing it in him. So those are all positives. I mean, it really is. I mean, I think if you're betting on the idea of whether or not there's going to be a sophomore slump for Patrick Mahomes based on the whirlwind of this offseason, I'm not betting on that. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm fully convinced. I'm betting against it at this point. I hope Vegas will take me up on that, but we'll find out. Folks, we're going to take our first break, and when we do, we'll come back, and there's some other things that are not quite as, you know, super sparkly as Patrick Mahomes going on right now. The Athletic Matrix Draft Guide from Rogue Analytics is available now, and we've got a special discount code for our listeners. At checkout, enter the code LOCKEDON to get your discount. Go to rogueapc.com, that's rogueapc.com, and get the Athletic Matrix Draft Guide for the 2019 NFL Draft. So it was notable, I think, when they got back that a number of people were very clear to point out that Tyreek Hill is in the building. He's not talking to anyone, but they have him in the building. Where do you feel the team is right now with the situation surrounding him?
You know, it's a little bit hard to tell. You know, we did have a pretty good Q&A with Andy Reid and honestly didn't get a whole lot out of it. And I did not expect to. I mean, I expected Andy Reid to toe the company line at this point, which is let the investigation play out. We're going to learn the facts and then we'll see what happens from there. But until then, he's going to coach. There's nothing he can do about it. So those were all the talking points. And the players weren't really put on the spot today. And I didn't think it was necessarily appropriate, and nobody else dived into it either, you know, to put the players on the spot about what they thought about Tyreek's situation. But it doesn't look like it's affecting anything. And I think that if the Chiefs were too concerned about, you know, Tyreek being a distraction, they could have suggested that, you know, maybe right now, you know, don't come around. I mean, you can hang back. You can do that delicately. You can do that through his representative where it's not this is voluntary. I mean, this part of the offseason program is voluntary. The players aren't required to be there. Mm-hmm. So there's no indication whatsoever that the team is receiving things in a negative way, that it's a negative impact on them. But it's wait and see. I mean, it's waiting to see what the investigation plays out and what we learn at the end of it.
And that's kind of my take as well, is that, you know, if there was anything that they were terribly concerned about or that they just didn't want any exposure, he probably wouldn't have been there. But the fact that he is, I think that the team is going to take the point of view that when the investigation is concluded by the authorities, then we'll deal with the consequences.
Yeah. And, you know, and I've heard some speculation that, you know, maybe the Chiefs need to be more, you know, forceful, you know, and maybe more direct on this. And, you know, and let's face it, I have no doubt that the Chiefs have had, you know, a straight heart to heart talk with Tyreek Hill on what's happened. And Andy Reid probably knows more than he has let us in on. And that's to be expected. But also, I don't expect that the Chiefs are going to come out and say what they think is going on. Because they don't want to later have, you know, an issue where the police are saying something different. So I think it makes perfect sense at this point that they are staying quiet. I think it's in their best interest. I think it's in Tyreek's best interest. It's in the best interest of the investigation. And if it comes out favorably for Tyreek, I mean, there's no harm done. And if it doesn't, I mean, if something comes out that the Chiefs have to make a decision one way or the other, you haven't prejudiced that decision in any way.
And I think that's going to be important going forward, because at the end of the day, allegations are allegations. It's what the police do. It's what NFL security does. So I think Chiefs fans should just take it as a grain of salt, take a breath and just see what happens. And when we know, we'll know. That set aside, the general feeling on the first day of school, I found it interesting that Ogba and Jones have this connection. I feel like in the back of my mind, that's something that we could see them playing together on the interior of some nickel sets in particular. But any general overview of the new guys, Okafor, Ogba, et cetera?
Yeah, I think that the fan favorite that came out of today, the one that, or at least everybody in the media room thought was going to be the breakout star, was Bashaud Breeland. He had a lot of fun up there, and describing Patrick Mahomes as a gunslinger and a game manager was priceless. But he had a lot of fun talking about last year in St. Joe and everything, when it, you know, seemed like he wasn't going anywhere. He was just going to stay in St. Joe for the rest of training camp, whether he was on the Chiefs or not. But he looks like he's going to fit in really well. I mean, obviously he's close to Kendall Fuller, who, you know, he said Kendall was recruiting him last year, trying to get him in. If he's healthy, that looks like somebody who can definitely be a leader in that secondary, who can be there with Fuller to provide that veteran experience that they need back there, because they are young. I mean, and he said that's one of the things he actually likes, is that it's a young group. It's aggressive. You know, he likes the style that they think they're going to play a lot of man. He wants to do that. So that seems like it's going to fit for very well. You're right about Ogba. I mean, you know, with the relationship that he's got clearly with Chris Jones, they trained together, worked out together. That was, he said, the only guy he knew on the team, but he knew him pretty well. And you're right. I mean, I think that you are going to see those guys on the field a lot together. I think you could see them inside a lot together. And having that relationship, that experience, I think it's going to pay off there.
I completely agree. And I noticed that you put it out there, but you kind of skipped over the big nugget for me out of these pressers, and it wasn't just the presser, because Breland had something to say in a separate interview with BJ Kissel about playing man in this defense. And has your opinion on what we might be looking at come 2019, has it changed after today?
I don't think it's changed. I think it's just maybe getting a little bit more clear, and we'll find out more. But I mean, yeah, I mean, it seems like the Chiefs are going to play man. I mean, how much they play, I mean, I think it will be the majority of what they do. You have to throw some zone in there. I mean, that's the today's NFL. I mean, that's, you just have to. You have to be able to have that club in your bag. But clearly, the idea of playing in an aggressive defense where he could come in and play man, play bump and run, that's what Bashaud Breland wants to do, and that's what apparently he's told he's going to get to do here.
Oh, I like that idea, because I'm still of the opinion that at the end of the day, especially in the playoffs, when you have to stop somebody, you got to play some mana and allow the pieces to move around the board. And to that end, I think there's still a hole at safety, in my opinion. But what was your take with Tyrann Mathieu and where he's going in this defense?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I still think it's wide open about where he's going to play and how they're going to use him. And maybe that will become a little bit more clear after the draft and we settle in. Once we start getting into the on the field work and OTAs, and that's where we're really going to get a good clue. I mean, once we get to see this team out on the field lining up, then we're going to get a better idea. But I mean, to me, it seems increasingly like, you know, that they're planning on Mathieu being up there at the line of scrimmage. And because if they're talking about playing man, talking about playing aggressive, talking about playing bump and run with Bashaud Breland, I think you're talking about the same kind of thing with Tyrann Mathieu and getting him up in guys' faces. And that's where he has, I think, been best. So that to me tells me that's what I see and hear from this, is that this is going to be a kind of an aggressive, stick it in your face kind of defense is the style that they want to play. And that's, and Matthew's going to be a big part of that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too, because I think he's best somewhere between that nickel and robber type role in the middle of the field where he can do what he does. We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season, and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time, and keep it locked on, Chiefs. I think last question for you, because there's just too much to guesswork right now. And I think I did this to you last time, just to put you on blast right now.
Oh, dear.
Right? With everybody's enthusiasm and everything, maybe not how you feel, but how does it feel like the players and the coaches feel about where this team is in getting to the next step?
That's actually a really good question. And a common conversation with some of the returning guys, you know, Travis Kelce, Mitchell Schwartz, you know, that loss in the championship game is going to stick. I mean, it's something that's going to be with this team for a while. The question to me is a little bit about how the motivation that it becomes for this team, because, you know, this team talked the same thing a couple of years ago after the loss of the Steelers. That thing, they kept harping on that all the way at the training camp. It was like, that was a bad feeling. We don't want to do that again. You know, we want to go to the Super Bowl. And I don't know if it really just hung over that team, if there were just other fundamental problems, but that team didn't respond. I mean, you know, it was a step backward that year. They just weren't as good. And maybe it was just that was just age catching up with some guys and some injuries catching up with guys, scheme problems catching up. But you know, they took that motivation and it didn't go anywhere. I mean, it took them to a bad place. I think this group, that hurt. I mean, Mitchell Schwartz talked specifically about how that he didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. And then he's watching the Super Bowl and then, you know, just the thinking about how close they got. That's going to stick with this team. I mean, it's going to be a motivation. And I like I said, I think it's a big part of it is just how they take it, because the last time that they felt like they had a tough loss at home, that they thought was going to be an inspiration, it fizzled out. I mean, there was nothing that came of it. How they come off of that, I think to me is a big part of, you know, how this team is going to come together. I think a big part of it is going to be the new guys. I mean, having a Tyrann Mathieu, I think, is going to be a positive influence on that defense and trying to get them to get in the right mindset for this season. So this group seems like, I mean, they're showing up now, I think more so than even a year ago, showing up with Super Bowl as the destination. You know, last year was everybody talked Super Bowl, but I didn't think that really that, you know, that was top frame of mind. I mean, that was last year was really about making a step forward. I mean, there was talking about getting Patrick into the offense and getting settled in and taking the step. But now, no, I mean, Super Bowl is everything's going to be talked about this season. That's all it's going to be talked about. And they've got to see if they've got the mentality and the leadership to be able to deal with that distraction and to be able to deal with the pressure, because last time they did not deal with it well at all.
And that's really going to be the step forward. And they have some time. They have things to figure out, but they have this offseason program. Now, they do this for a couple of weeks, right? This particular like pre-draft phase one, right? And then we get into true minicamp and OTAs, right?
Yeah, phase one is it's 2 weeks, you know, stretching, conditioning, and rehab. Then they've got phase two, which is 3 weeks of field work. They can do drills. At the end of that is when you get the rookie mini camp starting up after the draft. And then after that is when the 10 OTA practices in phase three start up. And then you get the mandatory mini camp in June. It'll be the last thing that they do before training camp. But yeah, really the next 5 weeks will be a little bit quiet, at least as far as the players go. I mean, they're going to be at the facility working, but there won't be any practices, no teamwork, nothing like that for the next 5 weeks.
Well, we will have some information after that, after the draft. But to get ready for the draft, make sure you're checking everything out on ChiefsDigest.com, because that's where Matt's putting all of this information that he gets to see firsthand that I have absolutely no clue about. But if you want to know about prospects, check out the Athletic Matrix at RogueAPC.com and use that code LOCKEDON to get your couple of bucks off. We appreciate your time. And Matt, thank you for all of your insight as always.
Absolutely. It's always great talking to you.
And folks, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Make sure you check that out, because something's going to be happening. Thank you, and we'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.